Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to preach, teach, and hear the word of God. Bless us this morning and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise God. Now, this morning, well, today is Father's Day, and I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. If you're a father, if you hope to be one day, if you know one, if you're related to one, just give them all a happy Father's Day greeting from me. Amen. All right. And don't forget to call your father. Amen. Or to text or send a message to anyone who has been like a father to you, you know. And for some of us, pastors have become like fathers to us. You know, a pastor is a type of father. Hallelujah. A pastor is a shepherd. And when you read Psalm 23 and you see all the things a shepherd does, you see that you can actually replace shepherd with father. Like, he leadeth me, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's a father's job, to ensure that it is well with his children. He leads me beside still waters. That's why your father talks a lot, because he's trying to get you away from turbulence to still waters. Do you understand? And he restoreth my soul is a very important role of fathers, which is restoration and encouragement. Because it is part of growing up to make mistakes. It is part of growing up to make choices that are not the best. And it is part of growing up to find yourself regretting steps, choices, decisions, and so on. And when you do, it is fatherliness to help a person to be restored back to the correct path and to help them going on to go on in life. Amen. That is why in the famous story of the prodigal son, you see that this boy really messes up. But he comes back home and there's the best example of a father who still receives him, celebrates him, helps him to settle and to give him another chance to continue to move on. Hallelujah. So it's one of the things he says, he restored my soul and then he leads me in paths of righteousness. That's about guidance. And that's a very important role of a father, which is to guide, to lead by example, to do it. Do you understand? It's one thing being given a pack of instructions, but another thing being told to follow or seeing an example of what you've been told to do. Hallelujah. That is why we all prefer to follow someone somewhere than to take the directions from the person, because it is easier when you have an example in front of you. Hallelujah. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. That means no matter what, your father is going to be there. Then thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's why fathers, you know, and if you have the old-fashioned type of father, you know, in the modern world, hallelujah, you see that your father never goes without his rod and his staff. Hallelujah. They are leather rods. Hallelujah. And so on and so forth. Then he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies and anoints your head with oil. That means a good father leads his children in the path where they can get anointed. Amen. And so it's a pastor's job is a father's job. Hallelujah. And sometimes what a pastor does is to fill in the fatherly gaps, you know, because we all grow up with gaps in fatherliness. Do you see? We didn't get as much fatherliness as we needed because you are fathered by an imperfect person. So there are bound to be gaps. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Only God is a perfect father. And so God, through his shepherds, fill in the gaps. God fills the gaps that are created by the absence of fathers. Or sometimes the father is present, but the fatherly influence he contributes is not much. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes the father is there, as in the physical person, but there's not much fatherliness coming out of him. It's like you have a water bottle that has no water in it, or not enough water in it. So you're still thirsty right next to the water bottle. You see what I'm saying? So pastors serve that purpose. God uses pastors to father people. That's why in certain church traditions, you find them, they refer to the ministers as fathers. They just call, you never hear them saying, pastor this. They'll just say, father this. Because that's what he really is. He's instructing, he's rebuking, he's correcting, he's providing, he's settling disputes, begging people, you know, to allow others to owe them for a little longer, you know, and things like that. Hallelujah. So today is Father's Day and we celebrate all fathers. Amen. And God bless all fathers. Father, we pray for every father in our church. If you're a father, would you stand to your feet, Pastor Munene, Pastor Charles, and any other secret father that I'm not aware of? Hallelujah. What about those who intend to be fathers? So why don't you stand up, those of you who intend to be a father one day, stand to your feet and join them, because Jeffrey, you see, it's like I'm not so sure, but hey, I tell you, one way or the other, God is going to use you as a father. Amen. One way or the other. One way or the other. Amen. Father, we thank you for all these men who are standing up as fathers, as wannabe fathers. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them with a little piece of yourself. The fatherliness in you, which we sometimes so poorly represent, we pray, O God, that will be perfected in these gentlemen in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will anoint them with the gift of fatherliness. Bless them, Lord. Give them wisdom. Give them patience. Enlarge their hearts to be able to represent the fatherliness in God. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them, bless the children you give them, be they biological children or spiritual children. However they become fathers, Lord, we pray that they will be good fathers. We pray that they will be anointed fathers. They will be fathers who make a way and who lead people into becoming fathers themselves in the name of Jesus. Bless them. Supply all their need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Why don't you clap for them? Clap for them. And let us go into the Word of God to continue what we have been sharing in the past couple of weeks. Amen. We've been talking about how people get to have things and why people lose even the little that they have. And the scripture is Mark chapter 4 and verse 25. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we had to try and fit ourselves into this place, but I think it's working, isn't it? Yeah, in your life you have to learn how to make things work. Do you understand? You have to learn how to make. Adaptability is a very important element in life. You need to develop a very strong adaptability reflex. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you adapt yourself. Not that when you find yourself things not going the way you expected them to go, then you are kind of stuck in the middle of the road. You see, you know, you need to learn how to make a quick U-turn, a quick left turn, a quick right turn, you know, and just make things work so that you can still stay on course. Can I have an amen? Instead of staying at one place and trying to find out why have things changed. Do you see what I'm saying? Just move on and God will bless you. Amen. Amen. All right. So here we are. It can work. All right. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Hallelujah. These words fell out of the lips of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the one who spoke these words. So they must be very serious words. And they must be true. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the truth. Anything that comes out of Christ is the truth about whatever he's talking about. And he says that he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Hallelujah. So we've been studying the scripture, and we have come to a point where we're saying that he that hath often has traits, or has certain traits, certain characteristics that allow him to have. Hallelujah. And he that hath not also obviously is missing those characteristics that make those who have. And it is these characteristics we're trying to go through quickly just to know what to develop. Because every one of us is trying to have something. Is it not true? Every one of us is trying to have something. We're trying to have something, or we're trying to keep something we happen to have. Is it not true?
Yeah,
we're trying to keep something. In fact, we're trying to keep what we have, and at the same time, we're trying to add to it. That is what takes us to the other scripture we've been reading, 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and from verse 3, which says that according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Amen.
Amen.
So God has called us to glory and virtue. And that glory and virtue, he says, we will experience the more we get to know Christ. Hallelujah. And that glory and virtue contains all things that pertain to life and godliness. It is a blessing to know that God has already made provision for you to have everything that pertains to life and godliness. God didn't send you here without provision. God has allowed you to be here, and in him you find all things that pertain to life and godliness. Anything that has to do with life and godliness, God has provided for us. Are you getting what I'm saying? They have provided for us. But the thing is that when you have provision, it doesn't mean that there is no contribution that you make to experience that provision. That is why even when someone puts food in your mouth, you still retain the duty to swallow. You see what I'm saying? One of the things people can't do for you is to swallow. You know, they can cook the food, they can prepare it, they can serve it. You know, not everyone comes that far in help. Do you get it? Some people will point the shop out to you where the food is sold. Others will buy it and bring it to the house, but you have to figure it out. Then others will cook it, do you see, but you have to go fetch it. Then others will cook and serve it, but you have to sit down and eat it. But then you have some people who will take you even a step further. They'll cook it, they'll serve it, and then they will feed you. But that is as far as people go. Hallelujah. They'll put it in your mouth. But from that point on, you now have to swallow. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. They may even chew it for you and spit it into your mouth. You still have to swallow it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is the equivalent of that that we're trying to understand. What is our role in having what God intends for us to have? And what is our role in preventing ourselves from losing what God has ordained for us to have? Hallelujah. So this verse four here says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And then verse 8 says, For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That you would be in the Lord, that you would be walking in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with nothing. Do you see what I'm saying? He doesn't want you to be in Him and have nothing. And He says these are the elements that need to be developed in abundance to prevent barrenness or unfruitfulness in Him. Hallelujah. So we talked a lot about diligence. And last week we were talking about patience. Hallelujah. And today I want to take a little time to talk about temperance. Temperance as the next important positive trait that must be developed if you want to have anything. Amen. Temperance is the trait of avoiding excesses and living in moderation. Hallelujah. Avoiding excesses and living in moderation. That is being moderate in your lifestyle, being moderate or having a moderate approach to everything. Hallelujah. Now, it is the Bible that says that if you have temperance, it prevents you from becoming barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So a person who knows or who masters the art of moderation is going to have or going to avoid a situation where he will be barren or unfruitful. Amen. Amen. Where you would have nothing, one of the things you need to develop is to learn how to be moderate and how to avoid excesses. Amen. Amen. Excesses in living, excesses in speaking, excesses in so many different areas of our lives will deliver us from barrenness. It will deliver us from having nothing. It will help us not to lose what we have. Hallelujah. It is very common to find people who once had something, but their inability to avoid excesses makes them lose what they once had. You see, and then eventually they become like people who never had anything. But what it is that you did have something good, but your excesses have robbed you of what God gave to you. Hallelujah. Amen. So number one, I'm sharing with you seven things you should know about temperance. Number one is temperance is a personal trait that makes you receive the highest rewards. It is a personal trait that makes you receive the highest rewards. The highest rewards go to people who are temperate. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. It says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Amen. Well, look at this verse. I think you should be drawn to this expression right there. It says, now they do it to obtain. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It says, they do it to obtain. That means temperance makes you obtain.
Wow.
Isn't it? Every man that striveth for the mastery, anyone who is trying to excel in anything, that is, anyone who is trying to become a master in any area, anyone who is trying to do well in any area, you see, is temperate in all things. That means he exercises self-control and restraint in every other area of his life. because of what he has set before him, because of the target that is in front of him, he keeps a tab on everything else. Do you see what I'm saying? He keeps a tab on everything else. He keeps a tab on his temper. He keeps a tab on his spending. He keeps a tab on his relationships. He keeps a tab on everything because of what he has set in front of him. And the Bible says they do it to obtain. Because without it, you will not obtain. Hallelujah. So in this case, it says they obtain a corruptible crown, but we are looking for an incorruptible crown. And he's saying that the principles that people use, you know, people use to obtain are the same principles that will allow us to have what we desire to have. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
See, when you take sportsmen, for example, they don't just eat anything. Do you see? Anyone who is trying to become a master at something has certain rules they follow. They have certain things they do and certain things they don't do. Hallelujah. And even out of the things they do, recently one brother was visiting us and, you know, he's trying to, you know, maintain his abs. You see, trying to maintain a six pack. And, you know, you see, yeah. And so as soon as he arrived, he told me the things he does not eat. You know, I don't eat this, I don't eat that, I don't eat this. And then he was announcing, basically just telling us, I don't eat too much carbs, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. You see, and it is because he's trying to obtain a six pack, which the Bible says is corruptible. Yeah. When you see a pot belly, what you're looking at is a corrupted six pack. Okay, right. So they're doing it to obtain something that is very corruptible with time. Hallelujah. But you notice that hardly do you meet any sportsman who has an anything goes kind of lifestyle. You don't meet anybody who's trying to do anything serious who has an anything goes lifestyle. When someone is a student, they cannot be a successful student if they have an anything goes anytime kind of lifestyle. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that I can have as much of anything as I want anywhere, anytime, with anyone. That kind of lifestyle will leave you without anything. All great achievers are temperate people. They are people who have learned to shut off their phones. They have learned to say, I will not talk now. They have learned to say, I'll pray now. I will not watch a movie now. There are people who have learned to control themselves and to exercise restraint and to guide themselves in the right direction for a period of time in order to obtain whatever they are trying to obtain. Hallelujah. So if you want to achieve anything, then you will have to learn to develop this quality of temperateness. Amen. You have to be a temperate person and develop that quality within yourself in order to have anything. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Number two is temperance is a personal trait that makes people accept and enjoy privileges at the right time. Privileges at the right time. Hallelujah. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 17, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Hallelujah. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Hallelujah. Now here, this one is saying that when a person is temperate, one of the characteristics they tend to have is that they do things at the right time. They take on and enjoy privileges but at the right time. Hallelujah. It's not that they go without. They still have it, but just the timing. Hallelujah. And you can see, according to this verse, a blessing seems to come, a blessing seems to be activated when someone is eating in due season. Do you see what I'm saying? There is a blessing that comes upon the land, blessing that comes upon a life, when that person has learned to take things at the right time. One of the reasons why people become poor is because they do not have patience to take things at the right time. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we buy things much more than we need. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, most people in life operate on a limited budget. And if you have a limited budget, you need to learn how to buy what you need. As opposed to what looks nice. And as opposed to what you wish you would have one day. Do you see what I'm saying? And many times, people have bought more things than they need. You have rented more house than you need. You've bought more car than you need. You see what I'm saying? You've bought more clothes than you need. You know, so many things we are not able to control. So this guy says, I'm going to do it. I'll do it. But the season has got to be right. Are you getting what I'm saying? The blessing does not come when the season, if you get the timing wrong, you may not actually feel the blessing. Good things happen to people, but when they happen at the wrong time, the good thing can be called a bad thing. That is why there is such a thing as teenage pregnancy. Do you see? Which most people frown upon. Are you getting what I'm saying? But a pregnancy itself is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. Do you see? People pay large sums of money just to get pregnant. So when someone is pregnant, it's a good thing. But the problem is it's out of its time. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says there's a time for everything. When you live your life, you have to believe, be a strong believer if you're going to have anything, that there is a time for everything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. There is a time for everything. See, the word fornication is, again, a word that is related to time. It describes someone who is doing something out of its time. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you see, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Let me show you. The Bible says, to everything and to every purpose, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. Did you see that? It says, to everything there is a season. There is a season to everything and a time to every purpose. A purpose is an intention. Do you see? Something that is planned, that is intended to be done. But the purpose has a time. Hallelujah. The purpose has a time that makes it good. So when you have a good purpose, but you do it out of its time, then it starts to look funny, isn't it? Yeah. So you see that you find so many people doing great things, but the thing is not in a good time. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you read on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let's read on a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 or verse 2. It says, there is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to laugh and a time to mourn, a time to dance. Hallelujah. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. You see, this is how people get into trouble. Do you understand? They feel that, well, once I have arms, the purpose is for embracing. But to every purpose, there is a season. Do you understand? Yeah. And then it says, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. So when you are keeping when you should be casting away, then you're going to have a problem. When you are casting away when you should be keeping, then you are also going to be without. Do you see what I'm saying? So you see that the element of timing is crucial and critical to having or losing things. Can I have an amen? And God wants you to have things, but He wants you to have them at the right time. You will drive the right car at the right time. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You will drive the right car. Maybe for now, all you need is a car like what Paul has. Paul is in the preaching every day. Hallelujah. Yeah. Maybe you need one of those things that looks like a tablet. Tablet as in a pill. Capsule. You know, and you see it moving on the road. Like that. The other day he made a U-turn here. I said, well, I couldn't believe he did that. But he did. Hallelujah. Yeah. Perhaps that is what you need. Wow. Do you see? Because you need to control other things. Sometimes people are broke because they spent all the money on one thing. Wow. Do you see? You have bought too much of this. That you don't have enough for that and that and that. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we need to master that art. Know that it's a good thing doesn't mean you must have all of it now. Hallelujah. It's a good thing doesn't mean you must have all of it now. Sometimes musicians have that problem. They are great at what they are playing. Then they give us too much of it. Do you see what I'm saying? So you're playing the right thing and it's great, but now you're so loud we cannot hear anything else. So temperance is needed there too. What do you think? Temperance is needed in producing good music. Good music. You see, they have people who go to school to learn how to engineer, how to balance the music. Do you see? After they have recorded things, then they need to sit someone down who says, let's have this much of this and that much of that and this much of that. That is all temperance. Do you understand? The whole mixing board is about temperance. It's about controlling things and having things in the right quantities at the right time in order for us not to be without. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So that is what you and I have to develop and learn to bring into our lives. Say amen. Amen. How many understand what I'm saying? Then number three is that temperance is a personal trait that makes people accept privileges only because it makes them stronger. Okay? It makes them stronger. Wow. Now, this one is also very important because the earlier point has to do with not taking things. Do you see? Not taking something on because you want it to be at the right time. But this one has to do with taking on something because it's necessary to be strong to go on. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are times when you also have to do things because without that, you don't have a certain strength, you don't have a certain ability, you don't have a certain capability to go on to the next thing in order to have what you're supposed to have. Are you getting what I'm saying? So for example, there's a time, if we go by the previous point, we'll say that there's a time when you shouldn't be eating. That is true. When you're a Christian, you need to have times when you don't eat. It is called fasting. Hallelujah. But on the other hand, there are other times when you're also supposed to eat. Are you getting it? There are times when you're supposed to eat for strength. Now, when you're supposed to eat for strength and you start to fast, then you're going to have a problem also. Don't be surprised if you don't get what you're trying to get. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't be surprised if you don't get, you're going to an interview, you've gone to sit there, I tell you, you are looking so weak. Do you see? And you look so weak and hungry and starved. And the person is looking at you and they're asking questions you can barely think. You see what I'm saying? I think that you're doing the wrong thing. You see what I'm saying? There's a time when you need to have strength. There are certain privileges you need to take advantage of so you can have strength. So yes, there's a time when you need to buy a car to have a job. That's the strength. To be able to keep the job or to be able to work the job, you need to buy a car. You shouldn't say that, no, I shouldn't have a car because, you know, whatever, whatever. You're going to be late to work and you will soon not have a job. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Then you have now entered he that hath not. So even what he had, the job he had, he's been fired from it. Because when he should have strengthened himself, sometimes you need to change your wardrobe to keep that job. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you need to spend a little money on yourself just to keep that job. Because the way you are turning the whole office into a Rastafarian type of environment, the boss doesn't appreciate it.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Man.
Yeah, the boss doesn't appreciate it. But the whole area is becoming a certain way because of the way you dress up to that particular place. Hallelujah. So you need to spend a bit of money on yourself just to step up and become stronger and more qualified and more deserving of the position that has been given to you. Hallelujah. So that is a prince. Where's that verse? Where's that verse? Chapter 10 and verse 17. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, blessed art thou when the king is, thy king is a son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength. Do you see it? They eat for strength and not for drunkenness. So the excesses are here. Hallelujah. But there's a certain amount of eating. There's a certain amount of spending. There's a certain amount of using of things that is necessary for establishing even who you are, establishing things, and to have what God has given you. How many understand what I'm sharing with you? So you see that that's why the thing is temperate. Temperate, that's to keep a balance. Do you understand? Moderation. Says you're not too much, but not too little on the other hand. Can I have an amen? Sometimes we're trying to save money and we save so much and save and save. Our saving habits start to kill us. You are dying because of your savings.
Wow.
Yeah. You are dying because you are trying to save to live. By the time you save enough to live, you are dead. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So we need to learn how to do it. That you need to be temperate. Yes, you are trying to be frugal, but be temperate in your frugality. Sometimes you need to allow a little bit. Do you understand? You need to allow a little bit of spending. Allow a little bit of something. You know, just for happiness, for lightness, give yourself a treat. Do you see what I'm saying? Give yourself a treat. It's very difficult to work and work and work and not enjoy the fruit of your labor. One of the purposes of a salary is to keep you motivated. That is why sometimes you are paid more than you need to live. Do you understand? It's not just that salary is to sustain you. But then everybody's salary would have been capped at the point of sustenance. But you see people being paid beyond sustenance because salary has other purposes beyond sustenance, which is one of them is to allow you to have the liberty to be able to stay motivated and to stay encouraged to do what you're doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? So sometimes you need to give yourself a treat. Say amen.
Amen.
You need to give yourself a treat. You need to be happy. You need to not think always about the bills and so on. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you need to not think always about how many bills and this and that, so many things. If you do that, sometimes you're going to be too stingy. What do you think? Yeah, you're going to be too stingy and that will be a problem. You won't even buy a card for your beloved. A birthday card, you know, it's $3.99. Say, hey, I'll make one myself. You start to get a piece of paper and you are trying to draw. That's going to be a problem. Yeah. And if you have a beloved who is drawing cards for you, Take that as a warning shot. Take that as a prophecy from the Lord that it is not going to be easy for you. You see what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? It will not be easy for you at all. Right? So, do you understand the message? It's about balance. Amen. It's about balance. You need to be temperate. Amen. Next one. Next point. What's the time? Well, time to close, I think. Oh, all right. Let me give you number four real quick. All right. Temperance is a personal trait that makes you react to provocation moderately and cautiously. Moderately and cautiously. Okay. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Exalteth folly means he's promoting foolishness. Do you understand? Yeah. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Is of great understanding. You have great understanding when you take your time to react to issues. Do you see what I'm saying? One of the common things that destroys good things is overreaction. In fact, when people are driving, there is a very common cause of accidents, which is called overcorrection. Do you see? Sometimes people are driving, and then all of you seem to drive. Those of you who don't drive, your car is coming soon in the name of Jesus. But you see, when people are driving, you know, sometimes they're probably dozing off or, you know, minding something they shouldn't be minding, like texting or, you know, something, you know, all those things we do that we're not supposed to be doing. Okay. So you're doing this and then you suddenly lift up your head and you realize that the car is veering off. You're either going to the wrong lane or doing something, you know, going too close to someone. Then you panic and you overcorrect. Wow. You see, you correct, you try to... Sometimes when you lift up your head, you are in such shock with how close you are to a situation that you just feel an urgency to correct. That's where the danger is. Wow. So you just swerve to correct, then the overcorrection is actually what causes an accident and kills people. It's not that you corrected, but that you overdid it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you see that many times, just blowing things out of proportion is a well-known cause of destruction of relationships. Do you understand? You are too angry about some issue. You see what I'm saying? It causes the thing. Yes, you're supposed to be angry. In fact, most people don't plan to be angry. Yeah. This afternoon, I'm going to be angry at 3 o'clock. No. Wow. Anger is one of those natural reactions that God has created in us. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and we find ourselves angry. I mean, the wrong thing has to hit your ears or has to hit your eyes, and you are angry without intention. Do you see? But now, the problem is when you take it too far. That's where the problem is. Do you understand? So, temperateness requires us to exercise moderation. Do you understand? Yeah, you're angry, but it doesn't mean you have to leave the marriage. Do you understand? You're angry. Yes, it's true. I mean, you can't believe what you are hearing or what you are seeing. It's true. But it doesn't mean you should leave. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah? Sometimes people leave relationships prematurely. I mean, you've ditched your beloved too quickly over nothing. Do you understand? over something that the person did, which, yes, and often when it even happens, you see later on when you are thinking about it, you start to see that you acted childishly. You start to see that, no, I could have dealt with this. I could have lived with this. One of the common questions I like to ask people when I meet them, like divorced people, I mean, that if you were given the same set of circumstances, again with the same person, would you do what you did? And very often the answer is, I would handle it differently. Yeah, the answer is very often that I wouldn't do it this way. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes when you're younger, you need to listen to older people. Because when you grow older or grow older, a lot of your decisions you're taking as a younger person, you will find that they were loaded with immaturity. That your decisions were basically the decisions of a child. The Bible says that when you're a child, you think like a child, you understand like a child, and you it says, what does it say? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, you speak like a child, you think like a child, and you understand like a child. And every child, every young person has to believe that. You have to believe that you think like a child, you understand like a child, and you talk like a child. Then it says, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. That is the reason why people cannot stand by many decisions they took as young people. Do you understand? Because when you become a man, you put away childish things. Anything you did out of childishness, you find yourself at least mentally walking away from it. And you realize that you are dissociating yourself from that thing. And unfortunately, usually, it would have cost you what it should cost you already. Hallelujah. So listening to an older person is sometimes your greatest blessing. It is your greatest blessing to listen to someone who's been there before, someone who's walked that path before, someone who's done what you're trying to do, because that will be your deliverance. It is like someone lending you money you haven't earned yet. Do you understand? When I give you money you haven't earned yet, I empower you to be able to afford something you cannot naturally afford. Do you see? So when you listen to an older person, it's like a loan of wisdom that someone has just, or a gift of wisdom that someone has given to you, which you have not earned yourself, but you get to enjoy it and you get to live with it and flow with it because God has allowed you to have that. Can I have an amen? Amen. So do not overreact. Tell somebody, react. But do not overreact. Because overreaction kills. Hallelujah. Overreaction will drive all your friends away from you. There are many of us, we don't have friends. We don't have friends because no one can stay around us. Because our standards are so high. Not only are the standards set high, the price for breaking them is also very high. You see what I'm saying? That the standard itself is set very high. And then the price for breaking that standard is also very, very high. So you are just a piece of inflation just moving around. Do you understand? And you are just so expensive and costly to relate with. There's inflation going on all around you. Hallelujah. And that is, it makes it difficult for anybody to be even just your friend. Just your friend. So sometimes when you find your friends, you see they stop calling you. Yeah, because you want to understand. It's like when they call you, it's like they've come to an interview. It's like you've been called to the headmistress office. When we're in primary school, that's the thing you didn't want to do, to be invited to the office. But it's like relating with you every time is like being invited to the office. You are dealing with the headmistress, you see, and a certain sternness around you that people cannot relax a little bit. They can't make mistakes around you, you know. You can't have friends that way. The Bible says he that must have friends must show himself friendly. It is friendly people who get to have friends. Amen. Sometimes you find people complaining that no one likes them. But you wonder how many people they like themselves. You see, and that is a problem. If you don't like people, people are not going to like you much. Because everyone is looking for a resting place. Everyone is being chased by something. And everyone is looking for a place where they can comfortably hibernate a little bit and get away from all the things that are chasing us. That's why we have friends. That's why we have people we just call without an agenda. But if you call someone and then you've just called, and the person is like, well, sometimes they may not even say it in so many words, but you can see that the way the conversation has paused, they are looking for the agenda. You get it? Like, what is the agenda? I mean, what is the agenda? Get on with it. Say it now. But we must not always have an agenda for a call. You are too strict. Relax a little bit. Tap your neighbor and say, relax. Relax, relax. Hey, we must not always have an agenda for calling you. Yeah. You see some people answer the phone. Yes. So, oh, it's me. It's Philippa. It's Philippa. Okay. Yeah. Then Philippa will ask, so how are you? Fine. Did you go to work today? Yes. Now she's stuck. So she has to ask, do you have a dog? No. Why don't you have a dog? You see. And you see that the whole situation is not working. Can I have an amen? Amen? How many understand what I'm sharing with you? So that is the reason why people have. So the one who is moderate, you find them having more friends. And sometimes we are angry at them because the last person who joined the church has become their friend. And this one that you thought was going to be your friend has become their friend also. So you get jealous of them and you're angry. And then you see that the ones who even seem to have one or two friends, next thing you know, when you're calling them, they are not picking up. You are now starting to lose even the one or two friends that you have because your moderation is not clear, is not known to all men, as the Bible says. Can I have an amen? So take it easy, amen, and relax a little bit. And do not overreact. And don't be too stern. Don't be too strict. You don't have only 1 month to correct everything about people. Do you see what I'm saying? And you will not successfully, something that someone has lived with, a habit they have practiced all their life, you will not make it vanish in 2 weeks. You rather have to learn how to live with it and how to adjust and how to flow, so you can have a friend, so you can have someone who call you, someone who talk to you, and someone who, because there's something good about everyone, isn't it? Yeah. And if we relax a little bit, we'll have more people staying around us and we'll have a great time with them. Amen. Well, time is up, so I think I should stop here. Amen. And we will continue next time. Amen. We'll continue. But stand to your feet and let's pray. And let's pray. Hallelujah. Temperance. That is what makes the difference between he that hath and he that hath not. It is the reason why those who have will get more. Do you see? A person who has learned to be temperate and to control himself and to be moderate. The Bible says the prodigal son left his father's house and he wasted his goods on riotous living because he hadn't learned the rules of temperance. It is not every day that you can have someone divide all his living between you and another person while he's still alive. But if you don't have temperance, you still come back with nothing. because temperance is needed. Amen. Maybe you have a certain amount of money. Instead of ordering pizza for everybody every day, and it's like your house is a party center every day. Your room, every time people are coming to eat, everything is so easy for you to order. You know, since you heard the word order, anything that can be ordered, you are just ordering. Just ordering. Ordering shoes, ordering clothes, ordering everything. Everything has to be ordered. Do not be surprised if you lose even that which you have. Are you getting what I'm saying? But a person who learns how to be moderate, to eat, but in due season. To eat, but in due season. So I want you to pray for yourself and say, Lord, please give me this quality of temperateness. I want to be temperate, because the Bible says that if these qualities are in me and abound, they prevent me from being barren and empty and having nothing. Temperateness. So help me, Lord, to be temperate in the name of Jesus. Temperate in my emotions. Temperate in my attitudes, in my appetites. Temperate. Just pray about it. The food is good, doesn't mean you should continue to eat it. Temperateness is needed. Temperateness is needed. God needs to help you to be a temperate person. Thank you, Jesus. Father, help me not to overdo it in any area of my life, in the name of Jesus. And help me also not to underdo it. Not to find myself in a situation where you are not doing enough. I'm not doing enough, Lord. Help me that I'll eat to be strong. To be strong in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me.
Accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able.
He can handle.
He can handle anything that comes my way.
He's able.
He's able. Accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able.
He can handle anything.
He can handle anything that comes my way. He is able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He's able, more than able,
to make me what he wants me to be,
to make me what he wants me to be. To make me what he wants me to.
Father, we thank you for today and thank you for your great blessing. We thank you for the opportunity to learn about being temperate. Thank you for revealing to us this one quality that makes people have what they have. This positive trait that allows people to have things, that causes people to experience the blessing that you daily load our lives with. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be strong and to cultivate this quality in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from becoming people who lose the things that you give to us, such that we never feel blessed. We always feel overlooked. We always feel like God doesn't care about us. Meanwhile, the truth is that you have given to us, you have provided for us, but our lack of temperateness has caused us to lose the things you have given us. May no one lose any such blessing among us in the name of Jesus. May no one lose any such blessing among us. Let there be none who loses even the little they have. But instead, may we be he that has friends, he that has a family, he that has a relationship, he that has a job, he that has finances, he that has good health in the name of Jesus. Let us be that person in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the admonishment that comes from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.